we're now going to turn on our attention to part three, and that is Ashaka the Rispak, Chorav Beitar. And I think it's Kedai, before we start the Sugya of Beitar, which is going to go knee-deep into tomorrow's daf, to give a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of a hakdama, as it relates to what exactly the city of Beitar was, and what's the significance of Churban Beitar. Now, just to set it up, we know the Gemara says that there were five terrible things that happened on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. But those are only two of the five terrible things that happened. There were other bad, bad things that happened on Tisha B'Av. The Rambam, in Hilchas Tainis, Perek Hei, Halacha Gimel Listan, L'shoynei Hazav Shal HaRambam, V'Tisha B'Av, V'Chamisha Dvarim Irubar. There were five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Nigzera Yisrael B'Midbar, Shalai Yikonsu La'aretz. Number one, on that day, it was decreed that the Yidden would not be allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. V'charav habayis barishayinu b'shniyah. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Says the Rambam, additionally, v'nilgada irgadayla. There was a large city in Eretz Yisrael that was captured. U'beitar shma. The name of the city was Beitar. V'hayu ba alafin v'rivavais mi'Yisrael. There were thousands and tens of thousands of Yidden that were living there. V'hayu lehem melech gadol. At that time, the Yidden of Beitar had a very powerful king. V'dimu kol Yisrael, v'gdoyle achachomim shu ha-melech ha-moshiach. And all the Jews, and even the gdoyle achachomim, believed that he was the melech ha-moshiach. Ob'v'nofel b'yad goyim. But ultimately, this city fell in the hands of the goyim. And this melech, who everyone thought was Mashiach, fell in the hands of the goyim as well. V'nergu kulam, and every single person in the city was killed. V'yisa tzara g'doyla k'may churban ha-mikdash. And this day was such a terrible day, it was a tzara g'doyla, literally on the level of churban ha-mikdash. So the Rambam b'l'shoynei hazav gives us three lines, which is literally the shortest version imaginable of Churban Beitar. But I think we need to take a step back a little bit if we want to appreciate what exactly Churban Beitar was, because this is, unfortunately, one of the lesser known chapters in Jewish history, and it's a very, very important part of A, Jewish history, and B, the story of Churban Beis HaMikdash. So after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, slowly, slowly, Tzibislach, the Yidden started doing what they do, and that is rebuilding. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to secure Yavne v'Chachamel, and as a result, there was Torah being learned, not just Torah, but Torah of a Dor Deya that was being learned, and the Yidden began to rebuild. In fact, the situation over the ensuing decades got so, I don't want to say good, but so okay, that the Yidden actually started talking about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Ad kidei kach. There's a Medrash Rabbah. It's in Parshas Toldos. It's in Samech Dalet Yud. Bimei Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Gozra Malchus Harusha, referring to the mighty Roman Empire, they decreed Sheyibana Beis HaMikdash, that the Jews should be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Medrash goes and starts talking about the campaign, the money that started being raised to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hoshivu Papis Viluyonis, there was literally a campaign. They started raising money. They had rishus to start building a Beis HaMikdash. And things were starting to look very, very good. But then, about 40, 50 years after the time of the Churban, there was a new Roman Caesar. They used to go through Caesars, like you go through Matzavasa. And this new Roman Caesar's name was Adarionus. In the secular world, he's known as Hadrian the Great, which, by the way, you find this very, very often, where you have a king who in the secular history is known as, quote-unquote, the Great, but in our world, he's a terrible, terrible monster. Hadrian is exhibit A for that. So Hadrian becomes the Roman emperor, and he was a tremendous, tremendous son of Israel. And he wasn't happy about the fact that the Jews were beginning to flourish again. They're not rebuilding a Beis HaMikdash. There's this international campaign that this is going to be the Bayis HaShlishi now. And this is something he wasn't okay with. Compound that with the fact that the Kutim, who were always a thorn in the sides of the Jews, they were being malshin to Hadrian, and they were saying that, you realize the reason the Jews want a Beis HaMikdash is so they could rebel again the way they rebelled not so long ago. So if you're a student of history, you should understand that the Jews having a Beis HaMikdash is not a good thing. And Hadrian decided that he has to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash, number one. And number two, he needs to go after the core of the Jews, which is he has to hit them where it really hurts, and that's the Yiddishkeit of the Yidden. And he started making Gzeiros, and he started making it very, very difficult to be a Yid. In fact, everyone knows the Gemara in the end of Cheskes HaBatim. The Gemara brings a braisa. The end of the braisa is as follows. From the day that the Malchus HaRisha was poshet, and they're imposing on us terrible, terrible gzeiros. It's so difficult, we can't learn Torah, we can't do mitzvahs, we can't do a Shavua Ben. Yeshua ben, Brismila, we can't do Pidyon HaBen. Basic mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit are things that are being robbed from us. So says the Braisa, Dinush and Nigzar Latzmeinush, Lois Ishul Oiludban. Really, the matzav so bad that what we should do now is we should make a gzeira. We should say there's no more chasenes, no more tarnagels, no more tarnagoyluses. Right, no more chasenes. Venimtu Zarish al Avram Avinu, call me Eilof. Like this, there'll be no more Jews. What do we need Jews for? You're bringing Yiddin into the world to do what? An oilam hazi you don't have, an oilam habi you don't have. So what's the purpose? Elo, the feeling at the time was, this is from the gdoili tatanoim, hanachlem li Yisrael, leave the yidim, mutav shiu shogav ayu mazidim. At the end of the day, people are going to get married, they're going to have children, and as a result, they're going to do it anyways. And if we're going to make a gzeira, they'll end up being mazidim, mutav shiu shogav ayu mazidim. And by the way, the next words, hadron Allah cheskes abak. This is literally the last words of an epic perek. Perek cheskes abak. When did this happen? When was it that these gzeirois were being pashta? When was it that it was impossible to be a Yid? When did this take place? This was Adar Yonis. That's when this took place. And he was the one that had imposed these gzeiros. Lamaisa, the Yidden decided that this time they're not going to take it lying down. And they were going to put up a fight. Now, they put up a fight at the time of the Churban. But this time it was different. And the reason it was different is because the Yidden had a warrior who was a man of incredible, incredible physical and spiritual gifts. He was one of the Tannaim. He was a Chacham Gadol B'Toira, but at the same time, he was also a Gibar. His name was Ben Koiziva. And really, if you want to appreciate what Chazal say about Ben Koiziva, think Shimshon HaGibar. So Shimshon HaGibar, we know, is one of the Shoiftim, but Ein Mikra Yoitzim Edei Pshutai. He's also Shimshon HaGibar. He's Ben Koiziva HaGibar. May Inyan le Inyan very much by Inyan. And Ben Koiziva said that I'm going to fight for the Yidden. Mechatesi, they're going to take down our Yiddishkeit. It's not something they have a right to do. So he puts together an army of hundreds of thousands of Yidden that were Gibori Chayil, and he started fighting against the Romans. And he was very, very successful. In fact, he was so successful that it seemed Shalai Kedar Chateva. All of a sudden, the Eibishter puts this Gibar into this Dar, who is going to fight the Romans. He's fighting for Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because remember, they had started working on building the Beis HaMikdash. And it looks like everything was going to come together very, very nicely. Ad Kedei Kach, Ben Koiziva walks into the Chachamim one day, and he says, I want to convene a meeting. And the Oilam comes, Ben Koiziva, what do you have to say? He says, it's time for me to reveal to you who I really am. Who are you? He says, I'm Mashiach. And when the Chachamim heard Ben Koiziva said that he's Mashiach, you know what their reaction was? They believed. Ad Kedei Kach, Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, who was the Gadol Ador at that time, he turned to Ben Koiziva, and everybody's watching, and he says, Dein hu Malka Mashiach. It's a Loshen HaYerushalmi in Masechtas Tainis. It's Perik Dalet HaLochehe. In fact, the story of Ben Koiziva is mentioned in a few lines in Talmud Bavli. It's a Masechtas Sanhedrin and Perik Chelik, obviously. Daf Tzad Gimel Amibes. But it's Ba'arucha in Eicha Rabasi, and also in Talmud Yerushalmi. So in Talmud Yerushalmi, Rabbi Akiva hears what Ben Koiziva said, and he says, Dein hu Malka Mashiach. And then Rabbi Akiva said something else. He says that the Pasuk says, Dorach Koichav Miyakov. Who said this? Bilam. Dorach Koichav Miyakov. And he said, this is a remez. This is a remez to Mashiach. And you know who it's referring to? It's referring to Ben Koiziva. And after that, after Rabbi Akiva said that Ben Koiziva is Dorach Koichav Miyakov, they changed his name. And he became known not as Ben Koiziva, but he became known as Ben Koichva, or in Aramaic, he became known as Bar Koichva. So Bar Koichva was a name that was given to Ben Koziva by the great Rabbi Akiva, and the reason he gave him this name is because he believed he was Mashiach. And based on this pasuk of Dorach Koichav Meyakiv. So if you want to know who Bar Koichav was, he was the man that Vidimu Kol Yisro V'Gdoyle Achachomim Shehu Mashiach. And you know, gave him the name? That wasn't the name that he was given at birth. At his bris, they said Yikar Shmoy B'Yisrael Ben Koziva. But what happened was, is it was Rabbi Akiva that gave him his name, and he gave him this name because he believed he was Mashiach. Just to bring out this point, even starker, the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, this is in Perek Yud Aleph, it's Halacha Gimel. The Rambam over there is talking about HaMelech HaMashiach. And the Rambam gives his Shulchan Aruch of what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. Says the Rambam, Al Yala Al Daitcho Shamelech HaMashiach Tzorech Lasis Oysois Umoifsen. Don't think that the Melech HaMashiach is going to have to perform miracles. He's going to have to make chidushim in the Briyah. Ein hadover kein, says the Rambam. That's not the pshat. You know I know? This is the Rambam's hespin on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol michachmei mishnahaya. For who hayu noise kelov shem ben koizva hamelech. And he led, literally, he carried the bags of ben koizva. That's how much he was mevatel himself to him. For who hayu oimer alav shua melech hamashiach. And Rabbi Akiva would say on him that he's the melech hamashiach. V'dimo hu v'chol chachmei doire shua melech hamashiach. Ad shenerach. Till he was killed, ba'avoinus, with his aveirus. V'kivin shenerach, when he was killed, noy d'shein Mashiach. It was only then that they knew he was a Mashiach. However, what's the punchline to the Rambam? V'loy shalu mimenu chachomim, loy ois v'loy moifes. They never asked him for a miracle. It doesn't say anywhere that he was mechayim meisim. It doesn't say he was mechadosh anything in the Bria. So the Rambam, in halachas, this is not the Meir Nevoichim. It's not in Zigeris Taimon. It's not in Shmoinu Prakim. This is a Rambam in Hilchas Melachim. He's learning up the sugya. The lumbness of the sugya of Mashiach. And he said, Mashiach doesn't have to be Mechadish anything. Oh, my Rai is Bar Koichba. Because Rabbi Akiva thought he was Mashiach. Who are your Omer Olav, Shua Melech HaMashiach? And yet he never performed any Moifsim. Yeah, it was a Gibor Chayil, no question. And the Yidden were having incredible, incredible success. And if he didn't meet all the credentials that's needed for Mashiach, obviously Rabbi Akiva would not have thought that he was Mashiach. But at the same time, Moifsim at the Nishkemach. But the bottom line is, so the Yidden have this great warrior who puts together a military, and he decides he's going to fight against the Romans. And he was very, very successful. In fact, for a few years, his rebellion, known as the Bar Koichva Rebellion, was going very, very well. And then all of a sudden, the things turn. Now, the emphasis is that if you study the secular history, at the end of the day, Bar Koichva, as strong as he was, together with his army, as strong as they were still heavy underdogs. And it was very difficult for them to defeat the mighty Roman Empire. And Hadrian quashes the rebellion. That's one of the reasons world history treats him as Hadrian the Great, because he successfully was able to protect the Roman Empire. But Chazal and Megala toss the panemius of what went on. And if you read the story, it's mamish mesmerizing. It's here in the Yerushalmi, again in Perik Dalet Halachehe in Masechtes Tainis. One excerpt, the Kadhavanothik Lakrova, when Bar Koichva would go out to fight, Hava Omar, he would say, this is not in the beginning, this is a few years in. Riboyna da Alma, loy tisoid v'loy tichsoif. Imagine Azat Tfila. He turns to the Abish, he says, loy tisoid, don't help me, but v'loy tichsoif, don't shtar. Meaning, Abish, I got this, I don't need you. Loy tisoid, I don't need Sa'ad, I don't need you to help me, but v'loy tichsoif, please don't get in the way. And then he said the following pasuk. Sounds familiar? That was what he said. He said, I don't need any help. I have this. Let me handle this. This is something I could do by myself. Yerushalmi continues. Says, Shalai Shonimu Mechza Asa Adar Yonis Makiv Al Beitar. For 3.5 years, Adar Yonis laid siege on Beitar. So at that time, Beitar is the largest populated Jewish city, and Adar Yonis was trying to attack, but he couldn't. Why? Because of Bar Koichva. Him and his army, they were too strong. But during those 3.5 years, while Bar Koichva is getting to a point of a shtikel koichi v'itzim yadi, and the Jews are being very, very successful, there was a Yid. We're familiar with him from learning Daf Yoimi. His name was Rabbi Loza Hamaydoi. And he was Yoshev al Asak Falo Efer, Umispalo Bechol Yoim. He would daven every day. For Omer, and he would say, Ribo no Ilomim, Alteshe Bidin Hayoim, Alteshe Bidin Hayoim. Give us one more day. Let today not be the day of death. This was Rabbi Loza Amidoy's tefillah. Let us live one more day. But yeah, Adayonis Mezaleh. Adayonis was trying and he was unsuccessful. So Amalei Chad Kutai. There was a Kuti. Again, these Kutians were geferlich. And he turns to Adayonis and he says, I have some intel. I'm going to give you some inside information. I'm going to tell you why you're unsuccessful. I'm going to tell you why you're unsuccessful. I'm going to tell you what you need to do to be successful. He said, the issue you're having right now is there's a rabbi. And this rabbi is doing avodas and tikkunim, and he's being piled that the city of Beit that should not be able to be overthrown. And that's why you're being unsuccessful. What you need to do is, we need to strategize. We have to figure out a way to eliminate this tzaddik, Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. And if we could do that, we're going to be successful. And Yerushalmi goes on to tell a story that this Kutai went while Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy was davening, and he whispered something into his ear, and he starts having a conversation. Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy is davening, and he's whispering into his ear. In the meantime, word got out that there was a Kuti, this is someone from the enemy side, who was having some communication with Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. Bar Koichva gets wind of this. Bar Koichva calls the Kuti, and he says, what's going on? And the Kuti tells him that, I'll be honest with you, Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy, he's a traitor. And you think he's davening for you? Just the opposite. He doesn't like you. And he's actually trying to help Adayonis. And we were caught. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. But you want to know what's going on? Don't kill me. But this is what's going on. When Bar Koichva heard this, he got a little worried. Maybe he's telling the truth. So he calls Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. And Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy comes in and he meets with Bar Koichva. He says, you were having a conversation with a Kuti. What was going on? Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy said, I know what you're talking about. He says, what do you mean? There was a Kuti that was whispering into your ear. Everybody saw it. This Aiden. Everyone knows this happened. He says, I mamish don't know what you're talking about. And the emes is, Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy didn't know what he was talking about. Because Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy, Chazal say, was so steeped in tefillah. His avodah of Al Teisha B'din Ayoyim, was on such a nifladiga level that he didn't feel it. He didn't realize that there was somebody that was whispering into his ear. And he turned to Bar Koichva and says, I don't know what you're talking about. The problem is everyone had seen it. And Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy was compromised. Bar Koichva, in his mind, had no choice but to believe the Eidus of this apostle Eidus, and he killed Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. That's what Yerushalmi says. So Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy, Hashem Yimkom Damoy, was killed by who? He was killed by none other than Bar Koichva. The Gemara says when this happened, there was a terrible kitrig in Shemayim. And they said, this is the Melech HaMashiach. This is the person that we're bringing this Yeshua from. It can't be. It's not possible. And miyad, Milka de Beita, v'nerek ben Koizava. On that day, Beita was captured, and on that day, Bar Koichva was killed. What was the day? The Rambam just told us what the day was. It's the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis. It was on Tisha B'Av. So on Tisha B'Av was Milka de Beita. On Tisha B'Av, Bar Koichva was killed. And on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy, Hashem Yimkom Damoy, was killed by Bar Koichva. Incredible. This is the story of Bar Koichva. And literally, immediately, as a response, the Romans had all the power. There was no Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. They didn't have his tefillahs. You know, yesterday we talked about Rabbi Tzadik, who fasted 40 years, like Lechrem Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yechim HaTzakeh wanted to keep him alive. And we said, why did he want to keep him alive? Maybe the reason he wanted to keep him alive is because he felt that his avoidus and his tefillahs and his fasting was what was saving Klal Yisrael. It's an offering of Yerushalmi by Churban Beitar, which is Me'inyan, Ba'isa'inyan. That you see Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy, as long as he was alive, there was no Churban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai with his grace of Eugen maybe understood this. And at Vashtanin, as long as there's a Rab Tzadik, we still have hope. But if there's no Rab Tzadik, and that's why, what is he asking for? Yavna v'chachamel, Malchus Beis David, and I need Rab Tzadik. I need Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoy. I need that Tzadik, because I'm not going to have that Tzadik. If I'm not going to have that Tzadik, how do I know how this is all going to play itself out? But I'll tell you something interesting. And that is that Rabbi Yochanan said three things. He said, "Akamtza bar kamtza charev Yerushalayim, atarnegoyla v'atarnegolta charev tor malka." And then he said that "Ashaka derisbag charev beitar." So I want to ask you a question. I asked this to several Talmid Chachamim. What was tor malka? How did that get lost in the shuffle? We know that charev Yerushalayim, akamtza bar kamtza charev Yerushalayim. Everybody knows. Every child knows that. We know about Churban Beitar. The Mishnah talks about Churban Beitar. It's the story of Bar Koichva. But what was Tor Malka?
And how come we don't know about it? We just learned the whole Amid Gemara that talks about Tor Malka. And it certainly sounded like from the Gemara that millions of people were killed. This was a tremendous, tremendous Chorban. How did we forget about that? We know about Tachvatat. We know about the Spanish Inquisition. We know about the Holocaust, of course. I mean, we know about the Crusades. We have all the different kinnis that were written about the burning of the Shas, the Maram Rotenberg, right? We know so much about the Tzaddis. We commemorate them. Mamish today, Dova Be'itoy. So how is it possible that there's no talk about Tor Malka? I think it's a good kasha. I saw a raid. Where was Tor Malka? Forget about where was Tor Malka. When was Tor Malka? When exactly did this happen? So I don't know. I taku don't know. But I want to ask you something. In the story of Tor Malka, there was mention of a Bar Deroima. That this Bar Deroima, there was one person who had supernatural powers. And the Roman Caesar was going crazy. And even Davin to the Eibishter, he said, Ribboino da Alma Kula. That was his lashon. Ribboino da Alma Kula. You want to take me down, take me down. But not in the hands of one person. Not in the hands of one Bar Deroima. Who was this Bar Deroima? How come we never heard about him? Who was he? It's interesting. What was the downfall of the Bar Deroima? What happened? How did the Bar Deroima go down? He quoted a pasuk. He said, "Haloi ato elikim zinachtanu, v'loi seitze elikim b'tzivayseinu." The Yerushalmi said, "What was the downfall of Bar Kochva?" What did he say? He said, "Ribbono d'alma, loi tisloi v'loi tichsoi." And then he said, "Haloi ato elikim zinachtanu, v'loi seitze elikim b'tzivayseinu." How did the Bar Deroima die? He went to the Beis Hakisei, and a snake came and it chopped out his innards, and that was the way he died. How did Bar Kochva die? So we know the day that he died. He died on Tisha B'Av. But how exactly did he die? Says the Yerushalmi, Asun Ti'inin Reishi Gaba Adayon. After Bar Kochva was killed, so they delivered, this is really old school, the head of Bar Kochva to Hadrian. Amaloi man katol adein. Said, who killed him? I want to know. Amaloi chad kuta. So there was a kuti there. He said, this is my 15 minutes of fame. This is my opportunity to make it big time. He goes, Anok katalte. I killed him. Amaloi said, I don't believe it. Chamile ptume. He didn't believe that a mortal, a human being, would be able to kill Bar Kochva. He was so powerful, he was so strong. He didn't believe it. He said, I want to see his guf. Chamile ptume, they brought his guf. Ashkach, you know what they found? Chakino kricha aloi. The Targum. Mata nachosh karuch sevivai. V'nirish ahoya anachosh harga v'loi akute. It was clear that he was killed by a snake. Omar, he said, Ilule alukad de katle manav yochale. Ukara Allah, he said on him the pasikim, loy kitsura mecharim vashem eskir. This had to be directly from the Eibishter. There was no shliach, there was no intermediary that would have had the ability, would have had the kayach to kill Bar Kochva. He was darach kayacha miyakiv. He was too strong. How was he killed? He was killed by a snake. He was killed in the same exact way that this Bar Deroima was killed. It's eerily, eerily similar. The story of the Bar Deroima, that is, to the story of Bar Kochva. By the way, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. Mashiach, Pashtus, Mashiach ben David. If he's Mashiach ben David, he came from which Shevet? Shevet Yehuda. Which was what part of Eretz Yisrael? It's the south. It's in the darn part of Eretz Yisrael. It seems a little bit suspicious that this Bar Deroima is Bar Kochva. And if the Bar Deroima is Bar Kochva, that would mean that Tor Malka and that Churban was associated and it was related somewhat with Churban Beitar. And if that's the case, it would a little bit explain why we don't talk so much about it, because really Churban Beitar is the city, Sheyukar al Shmoi, this entire Churban, but it's not another chapter in Jewish history. It happened around the same time. You know, we talked a lot about why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Avodah Zarah Gila Raya Shvichas Dam. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, which Chafetz Chaim said was Lashon Hara. Why was Beitar destroyed? What was the cause of the Churban Beitar? The Yerushalmi asks the Kasha. V'lo mecharva. Why was Beitar destroyed? Al shehidliku neirois la'acha Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's because after Churban Beis HaMikdash, they were lighting neirois. And he goes on to tell how there were celebrations. And they didn't mourn Beis HaMikdash to teach us that any person that doesn't mourn the Beis HaMikdash, he will have Churban. Which is what the Gemara said was the reason that city, which is a little bit unclear if it's part of Aramelech, but it certainly feels like it a little bit, was part of Aramelech, was destroyed. It seems that Beitar and Tor Malka was all very much Me'inyan Le'inyan. But you see, what happened after the Tarnagol of a Tarnagolta? So first he gave them another chance. And then He didn't give them another chance. What did he see? He saw the celebration. What's the oimek? He saw the celebration. Yeah, that's what rates them on. But ba'oifin pnimi, that was the cause. It's a mefurish Yerushalmi. That was the cause for what had taken place. Again, not 100% sure, but the bottom line is Churban Beitar, which led to Asara Rugei Malchus. It led to the killing of Rabbi Akiva Kiyodua. And really, it ushered in a very, very, very challenging tkufa. One of the most challenging tkufas in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's something that Rabbi Yochanan said was triggered by something very, very nominal. What was that nominal thing that triggered it? Said Rabbi Yochanan, Ashaka the Rispak. It was the door of a chariot in which women used to travel. What's the rest of that story? That's the second part of today's daf.